Thought I'd read a verse for you, to you and with you tonight. It's from 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16. And it says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." I was saved on the 12th of April 1970, my wife and I. And shortly after I was saved, in fact, the moment, that very moment, just come ahead, Mom. That very moment that I rose from my knees where I had knelt to ask forgiveness, I knew then that I was saved to serve. I didn't know what it would be, but I knew that this salvation that I had accepted at the invitation of Christ in John chapter 6 and verse 37, where he promised, "Him that cometh to me, I would in no wise cast out." I knew that when I accepted that, it was not just a fire insurance. It was not just going to be something that was going to change my life in that I started to go to church on Sunday. It was a life-changing decision. And so we weren't long married at the time. We were just 2 years married. And my wife and I were just starting out. And then we got saved. And I was sitting pondering what I should do with my life, and pondering what this inner burden was in my life. Now remember this, you've got to understand this. I was a weekend drunk. I wasn't even educated, you know. In fact, after I got saved, it took me the best part of 3 full years to learn to speak properly again without profanity. And that's, you might think that's a strange thing to say, but it's true. It was a natural, it was part of my life, it was in the DNA, if you like. And I had to be careful for almost 3 years before I could speak freely. And before, I'm ashamed to say it, but that's the way it was. And so that's the person sitting at the fire, having this inner burden, not knowing what's happening, and why have I this? Because I had no desire. I had no desire of myself to do these things. And this verse came to me. "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." And there I saw it. I saw it in Paul's life, which was my own life reflected. The Lord had laid a duty upon me, and I had to follow that duty. Where it was going to lead me, I didn't know. How it was going to lead me, I even knew far less. But I knew that it was safe to serve, and that the Lord, in this verse and from this verse, showed me, yes, this is the Lord's call, because it was a necessity laid upon me. It was something I had to do, regardless of the difficulties. It was something I had to follow. And I want to tell you, I went to my pastor, I told him what was happening, and I started teaching Sunday school. I started working in the church. Never thought of pulpit service. I started for instance, putting up posters for revival meetings. I'm using the American term now so you know what I'm talking about. That's another problem. Anyway, I was doing things, happy to be of service in a physical way. And then it got to be that that wasn't enough. And I was teaching Sunday school. And it got to be I still wasn't satisfied. And I went to my pastor and he said, listen, he told me about the theological hall and he said, you know, why don't you enter the hall? And then I, you know, me enter the hall. So he said, listen, if you want to enter the hall, enter the hall. If it doesn't work out for you, see how the Lord leads. You know, and you have to leave it or go back. In 6 months' time, be forgotten, there'd be no problem. So I felt led. I never felt led to be a minister, but I felt led to take the next step. And it was only when I took the step that I got peace. That's the whole issue. It was only when I took the steps and entered the doors that I felt led to enter. It was only by yielding to that that I got peace on it. And I can say even today, 40-something years later, nearly 50 years later, I still feel the same. I'm not a missionary because I want to be a missionary. I wasn't a pastor because I wanted to be a pastor. When I went into Theological Hall, I went in to do each year the best I could. And if that led on, so be it. If it didn't, then I would go back to my work. And so, even now, there's a compulsion laid upon me. Even now, there is this duty that I know there's no discharge in this war. I never asked for leadership. That's maybe not in accordance with the status quo in world affairs or even in ecclesiastical affairs. But I never asked for leadership. I never asked for position. But it's been laid upon me. I've been laid into it. I look at the film that these men put together. I look back and I can hardly believe it. I can hardly believe it that I was there. I can hardly believe it. And so we don't ask for these things. But the Lord lays them upon our heart, and when we yield to them and he blesses us in them, we find ourselves in a position of leadership. And in the leadership, and I'm talking now of myself, in leadership, there's decisions to be made. Four years ago, I resigned, retired would be, I thought I'm not going to be like others, I'm not going to hang on to the last and pull down all that had built up. And I thought I was doing a great thing, you know, and on the very birthday, 6th of August, 4 years ago, I retired. I stood down from the chairmanship. I walked away to the other end of the table. I sat down thinking that I was going to put my feet up and relax and chill out. Chill out. Tell you. I'm not going to go into the details, but I wasn't very long there till I knew that things weren't going in the direction they ought to have been going in. And I had to come back in again. And all my ideas of quietude and peace and just pottering around and hunting and fishing and doing all those nice things that old men do, they were all gone. And I was back into the work. And so there is no discharge in our work. We do what we have to do. And when we do what we have to do, we find opposition. And I tell Stephen, I tell Seth, I tell Bill, I tell every one of you, the same as I told Rodney Davidson when he went back just a month ago. I said, Rodney, you're going back after 4 months. You're going back after a great acceptance in Ulster, blessing, tremendous blessing. I said, watch out for the devil. I said that. Watch out for the devil. Because where there's blessing, he'll not be far behind. And so he said, I know that. I said, I'm praying for that. I'm praying about that. And so we're on a high tonight, and rightly so, but let it be under God. Let it be under God. And let's pray that things will go well. And let's pray that the unity of sermon audio will be maintained. And let's pray that the Lord himself, who has given the leadership, will continue to bless and undertake. I tell my men, I say, listen men, nothing from without will destroy fame. If fame's going to be destroyed, it'll be destroyed at the table. And that's a fact. That's a fact. And so we've had problems. You know, you bring men in, you give them something to do that they never had before, you give them opportunities of serving the Lord, and they throw you to the dogs. They're willing to devour 20 years' work as if they labored, as if they did the work. I tell you, it's a hurtful thing. It's a hurtful thing. Thank God Hebrews 6 and 10 came to my rescue. And I'll quote it for those of you who don't know it. For God is not unrighteous. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have shown toward his name, in that ye minister to the saints and do minister. And it's been a difficult few years for me, these past couple of years. And so when I talk to you tonight, I'm talking from my heart. I'm talking from what I know. I'm talking from experience. Beware of the devil. At this time, when we're sitting and having a lovely, beautiful time of fellowship, we've had something special among us. The good seed has been sown. Don't let the fowls of the air come down and pick it and carry it away. And so let us give each other honor where honor's due. Love where love is due. Appreciation where appreciation is due. These people here, I was listening to you talking tonight, and Steve was talking, and this man, all boffins. These are all, you know, men that can do these things. Seth. I appreciate that there is men that can do that. I can't do that. But I know how difficult it must be to get things right. I can't pilot a plane, but I know a good landing when I experience it. And so, you know what I mean? You don't have to know. And so I thank you all for everything. And God bless you. And remember, let us remember, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Thank you. Thank you.